Well, greetings, everyone, and welcome to the Law Hour Editorial Review. The Law Hour is sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Public Service. Now, the Law Hour is an educational service in the public interest, and I'm your narrator, George Gordon. The Law Hour and Editorial Review is heard nationally 7 days a week here in the United States and in more than 75 countries worldwide over the Internet. Now, for more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, please visit our webpage. That's georgegordon.org. Again, georgegordon.org. Now, the Law Hour and Editorial Review brings you important information about law, news, and current events. So stay tuned for tonight's special report on the aftermath of Hurricane Katrina when we come back. You know, the genocidal policy of Global 2000 and this New World Order are the greatest threats to our lives, our liberties, and our property since Noah's flood, and that's not just my opinion. Jesus of Nazareth held that same view when he said in Matthew 24, verse 22, that, quote, except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved alive, unquote. Now, there are 64 life-threatening problems described in Scripture detailing this New World Order and their Global 2000 genocide agenda. And the Scripture teaches preparation for this great tribulation, not just apathy and indifference. That's why I contend that it's time that you and I wise up and start listening more to the God of the Bible and stop following after all these crazy scientists and philosophers, these preachers and politicians. Now, if you'd like to do just that, why don't you call, write, or email the law school and ask for those 64 life-threatening problems from the Scriptures, and then let's talk about formulating a real and a meaningful and an intelligent plan to survive this Global 2000 and these other 64 life-threatening problems that are called the Great Tribulation in Bible prophecy. Why don't you just call and order the free General Law CD package first? Now, that's a four-hour commentary on the law in general. It's educational, it's informative, it's a place to start, it's entertaining. Best of all, it's free. And you can call right now and order yours. The number to call, 417-273-4967. Now, the Subsistence and Survival School is available for home study on compact disc. And if you're online, you can go to the website, georgegordon.org. Just click onto the email machine and send an email request for that General Law CD package. That's georgegordon.org, or call direct, 417-273-4967. All right, last time we were talking about this thing of Hurricane Katrina. And my theory in this is that the people who have been damaged by Hurricane Katrina had it coming. I know it's crude, and it's crass, and it's insensitive, but it's either that or there is no God, and time and chance just happened to them. Because if there's a God out there, that God should have stopped that hurricane so that those people weren't damaged, or if he didn't stop the hurricane, then he must have wanted it to do what it did. Now, if he wanted it to do what it did to all of the people that the hurricane damaged, then there had to have been a reason why God would want to do that. So I showed you that the reason that he wants to do that is because he's got a quarrel with us. He's got a quarrel over a contract that he negotiated with Moses out at Mount Sinai about 3,100 years ago. And your great-great-granddaddy, if your granddaddy was like my great-great-granddaddy who was standing out there with your great-great-granddaddy 84 generations ago at Mount Sinai, those granddaddies said all that the Eternalists said, we will do and be obedient. Now, there were 33 articulable benefits that they wanted. And they have received, and you and I have received, these 33 articulable benefits under the terms and conditions of the contract. As a consequence of that contract, you and I had a duty to specific performance. You and I have a job. You and I have specific performance on our side of the contract. And we have to practice all of the laws, all of the statutes, all of the judgments that God gave us. We have not done that. That causes a breach of contract, and that breach of contract has a penalty clause. And so I showed you where the penalty clause was in Leviticus 26 and Deuteronomy 28. Now, the last part of our scenario here has to do with gambling. That's the gambling boats, that Biloxi. And limited liability, that's the insurance that all of you people have on all of your houses to recompense you for all of the damages that this hurricane has caused you. So let's start off here with insurance, which is called limited liability in law. Now, there's two ways to handle this thing of liability. It's called strict liability or limited liability. It's the only two there is. It's the only thing you have to remember, strict and limited liability. Now, an insurance company comes along and they say to you, there's a potential hazard. Your house might burn down. And they'll show you some propaganda films, and they'll show you some houses that burn down. And they'll say, see, this guy's house burned to the ground, and he didn't have insurance. And he had to rebuild his house out of his own pocket. And then they'll show you a picture of another house over here, and they'll say, well, no, this house burned to the ground, but this lucky fellow, he had insurance, and the insurance company paid him $100,000, and he took the proceeds of the insurance and built his house, and it didn't cost him anything out of his pocket, or very little. And insurance companies are in the business of selling insurance. Insurance is gambling. Insurance is a wager. Now, I know that if you're an insurance agent listening to me right now, immediately your head is going from side to side. No, no, insurance isn't gambling. Insurance is equitable loss spreading. Okay, go ahead and call it equitable loss spreading. But insurance is gambling, and I'm going to show you that. And the same thing happens when you sidle up to the casino crap table and you put $20 on the pass line or on the field or any place on the table and throw the dice. That's gambling. And that gambling violates the law of God. It violates the strict liability statute that I cited to you a day or two ago in Exodus 21, verses 28 through 36. Now, most people, when they read Exodus 21, 28, they read that in Sunday school, and they get kind of syrupy and sweet, and you know how the Sunday school teacher is, and they talk about this, because the example that's being used is an ox. And if this ox causes a damage, it spells out who has to pay for the damage. So if I've got a bull down here on my road, and you're coming in on my road, you're walking down my road here on my place, and that bull attacks you and causes you a damage, a question arises, a legal question. Who's liable for the damages, the hospital bills and time off work and so on? Is it me or you? Now, from your point of view, you're going to say, well, I didn't know that bull was wild and mean, and you did, Gordon, and so therefore you ought to pay me. And I might counter, well, gee, my bull has never been wild and mean before. What'd you do, tease him? And what'd you do, go over there and throw a red flag up in front of him there to entice him to attack you? Are you the proximate cause of your own injury? So we would litigate this out, and we would come to a conclusion. Well, this has been going on for thousands of years, and this is what law is all about. Law is, in fact, the rules by which we settle controversies like this. And so in Exodus 21, 28 through 36, there's a rule given by the God of Israel. And it spells out there that if I knew that bull was wild, mean, and dangerous, and I didn't shut him up, then I'm liable and I got to pay you. But if I didn't know that the bull was wild and dangerous, well, then I don't have to pay you. That's the rule. It's just like playing Monopoly. There are certain rules, and we follow those rules when we play the game. And people that don't follow the rules are called cheaters. We don't like cheaters, people that cheat, people that go beyond the rules, people that don't play fair. We don't like that. Well, the other day, a lady was being interviewed on TV, and she was complaining bitterly that she had, for many years, paid her premiums into the insurance company, and now she's got a damage. Her house has been swept away, totally damaged, wrecked. And she says the insurance company ought to pay the damages. And the insurance company said, well, we would if you had flood insurance, lady, but you don't have flood insurance. You've got hurricane insurance. Well, you know, this lady has paid her premiums faithfully now for many years, and now it's time to pay. The insurance company, it's time for them to pay her for the damage, because she bet that she was going to have a damage, and she paid her premiums every month, which is like putting $20 on the pass line, betting on this event transpiring, and sure enough, the hurricane came and wiped her away. Now, there's a little side event that comes in here, and this is called the terms and conditions of the contract. You see, in the contract, it said, we'll pay for the hurricane damage, but we won't pay for flood damage. So if the hurricane comes and blows your house down, the insurance company will pay you for the house being blown down by the hurricane. But if the hurricane comes and huffs and puffs and blows but doesn't blow your house down, but the hurricane does huff and puff and blow a hole in the dike, which in turn floods your house and destroys it, the insurance company won't pay because your house wasn't damaged by the hurricane, your house was damaged by the floodwaters, and you don't have any flood insurance. Now, when the insurance agent came by and sold you this policy, which, by the way, if you'll take a look at your insurance policies, you'll see that they're long and involved. And they use big words, 4 or 5 syllable words that you don't understand. Then they use legal words and legal terms that you've never heard of before, like stare decisis and certiorari and things like that. And you don't understand those words. And besides that, they don't even speak in English. They speak in Latin. And then the insurance agent, who assures you that he speaks this Latin and all of these legal terms over here, tells you that if your house gets water damage, we'll pay. And then when your house does get water damage, the insurance claims agent comes along. Remember, the salesman's long gone now. That was years ago that you bought the policy. And he didn't put anything in writing. He just gave you his oral commitment. He just told you. And you believed him, because you believe everybody when they tell you something, you believe them. But now it's time for the insurance company to pay off, and they don't want to pay you. Insurance companies want to collect premiums, just like gambling casinos want to take your bets, but they do not want to pay you your winnings. And the insurance claim is the winnings. Now, let me run that by you again. Let's go down to the casino. We walk up to the crap table. We pull out a $20 bill, and we put it on the pass line. The croupier hands you the dice. Now, what we're doing is this. If we throw the dice and the right numbers come up, he's going to give us $20, and then we're going to have $40. If the wrong numbers come up, he's going to take our $20, and we're going to have nothing. Now, would you agree with me that that's called a gamble? It's called gambling. All right, it's a lot of fun, and we all like to do it, and we're always curious. I wonder what number's going to come up. Now, you see, the gambling house over here, they've been studying this for a long time. And so they take a look at two cubes that have 6 sides each, and they put numbers on these 6 sides from 1 to 6. And so there are 36 possibilities here. 6 times 6 is 36. So 36 possible numbers could come up. But when you throw the dice, only one number is going to come up out of 36. So the odds are 36 to 1. See how simple that is? And so it's all in how we structure the contract, structure the rules of the game. So in the rules of the game, out on the field, there's a number out there called 12. Now there's only 1 6 on each cube, so that means that there's 1 12. There's only one way to make a 12. Both sixes have to come up, and the chances of that happening are 1 out of 36. So on average, when you throw the dice, one time out of 36 throws of the dice, a 12 is going to come up. So if you were to put a $20 bill out there on the 12 and throw the dice 36 times, you on average are going to lose 35, and then on the 36th throw of the dice, a 12 is going to come up, and you're going to get paid 36 to 1, which is going to put you back to where you started, at what we call break even. Ah, but you see, the rules of the game don't pay you 36 to 1 odds. They only pay you 30 to 1 odds. So when you throw the dice 36 times, 1 12 is going to come up, and 35 times you're going to lose, and when the 1 12 comes up, they're going to pay you 30 to 1, not the correct odds of 36 to 1. Now that's called gambling, boys and girls, and that's strictly prohibited in the scripture. It's called limited liability. You're limiting your liability on a gambling table to the amount of money that you have wagered. See, you can only lose $20, and that 12 could come up the first throw of the dice. Now if the 12 comes up on the first throw of the dice, the gambling house has to pay you 30 times the amount of the bet. But the gambling house is there for the long haul, and with many, many people coming in and buying this premium called the bet. Now, in gambling, we call it a bet. In a lottery, we call it a ticket. In a raffle, we call it a ticket or a chance. And in insurance, we call it a premium. Now, it doesn't really make any difference what you call it. What we're doing is we are betting on, we are waiting for, we are anticipating a future event that we none of us know what's going to happen. So when you buy that lottery ticket and you scratch out those six numbers, and they go and they pull these six numbers, you know, if these six numbers come up, you're going to win $20 million. But if the number doesn't come up, you're only going to lose $1. So in effect, the odds are 20 million to one. Now, of course, the chances of you winning the lottery, that is picking six numbers that are going to come up, are 84 million to one. All right. Now, insurance works exactly the same way. And the insurance company makes the rules of the game, just like the gambling casino makes the rules of the table, just like the state makes the rules of the lottery. You don't have any input into the rules. You just come up here and play the game. Now, this lady who was complained because she paid her premium. She made her bets for many, many years. And then when it came time to pay off, she thought that she should get paid 36 to 1, but the rules only call for 30 to 1. The rules are written up, remember, in the contract. The contractor called the rule. Now, under the rules, and this new Chief Justice, John Roberts, he was asked this by Senator Durbin of Illinois. He said, now, if a case comes before you and a little guy comes in here against the big guy, are you going to take the side of the big guy as opposed to the little guy? And the new Chief Justice said, well, my job isn't to pick the good guy over the bad guy, or the little guy over the big guy, or the big guy over the little guy. My job is to construe the Constitution. So if the little guy comes in with the right argument, the little guy is going to win in my court. But if the big guy comes in with the right argument, and the little guy comes in with the wrong argument, the little guy is going to lose and the big guy is going to win, which is exactly correct. And that's why all of you little guys that buy insurance can't win. When you buy an insurance policy, you cannot win. Now, oftentimes people will talk about health insurance, and the government talks long and loud about health insurance. They've been trying to foist off on the American public a national health insurance program. Now, remember, God tells us not to practice insurance. Not to practice limited liability. God requires that we practice strict liability. And guess who is promoting limited liability? It's your government. The government of Washington, D.C. and Baton Rouge, Louisiana and Austin, Texas is a competing God. And that competing God is trying to get you to violate the law of the God of Abraham and practice the law of Louisiana and Texas. And Americans have done that. We all buy insurance. In fact, it's the law of the land. When you have an auto insurance, when you have an automobile, you have to have an auto insurance policy. All right, so let me tell you a story about auto insurance. It's kind of a neat thing to talk about. I'm an old-timey insurance adjuster. I'm the guy that comes out, looks at your damages, and then screws you out of your payment. That's my job. That's the job of every claims adjuster in America. It's to screw the policyholder out of his payment. The insurance agent, his job is to sell you on the idea of buying this limited liability policy. His job is to convince you that you should violate the law of God and gamble, that you should practice and you should violate the negligent statutes of the scripture, that you should not be responsible for your own actions. Somebody else should be responsible for you. This creates a guardian ward relationship. So let me show you how that works. Back in the 1960s, when I broke into the business, the auto insurance people that sold you your auto insurance policy, was selling, I think it was 10, 20 auto liability policies for $40 a month. or $40 a year. I forget now which. I think it's $40 a year. And you could buy $10,000 worth of policy. And the auto insurance industry complained bitterly that they had to pay out all of these claims. And they would tell us stories about an auto accident in which somebody was killed, and they had to pay out $50,000 for this death, or $100,000. Today, they have to pay out $1 million, or they got to pay out $5 million. And they tell you these stories. What they don't tell you is the averages. Nobody knows what the averages are. So get your pen and paper out, and let me tell you what the averages are, and I'll show you what your chances of winning on an auto insurance policy are. Remember, when you buy a lottery ticket, your chances of winning are 84 million to one. It's a little better with an auto insurance policy. Well, back in the 1960s, for every dollar's worth of premium that you paid in, the insurance industry paid out 5 cents, one nickel out of each dollar, 5% in claims. They netted 95% gross profit. That's why they could afford to pay their salesman 50% for the initial order, the initial policy, and then a handsome renewal of 5% every year that you re-up. All right, now, see how that game was played? Now, over the years, from 1964, when I broke in, until today, which is about 50 years, in that period of time, or 40 years, in that period of time, they have now complained that their liabilities have doubled. And they're not lying to you. They're telling you the truth. Today, in the year 2005, for every dollar's worth of premium that the insurance industry takes in, they're paying out 11 cents in claims. 11 cents. So now they're only netting 89 cents instead of 95 cents. So they have now lost a total of 6 cents on every premium dollar over the last 40 years. And they don't like that. Now, insurance is the second most profitable business created by the mind of man. Banking being number one, insurance is number two. Now, here it is, the year 2005. Let's suppose that you have an auto accident. Now, you're paying premiums. And if you're average, you're paying around $700 a year in auto insurance premiums. If you live out in Iowa, you're paying less than that. And if you live in the city, you're paying more than that. But 700, I think, is the last number I saw, the average, $700 a year. Now, how often should you expect to have an auto accident? Well, just think to yourself, how many auto accidents have you had? Now, I'm 67 years old, and I have had three automobile accidents in my life. And I have had three automobile insurance claims in 50 years, which is a little above average, because the average auto insurance claim is one out of every 33 years. So when you pay your premiums of $700 a year on average, 700 times 33 years, you're going to pay premiums of $23,100. Write that down. These are the averages as of 2005. You're paying $700 a year. You're going to have an auto accident once every 33 years. Many people never have an auto accident or an auto claim. Did you know that? And then many people are bad drivers, and they have multiple claims. Now, as soon as you have three claims, the insurance industry will blackball you, put you on an assigned risk, and charge you 10 times. You'll be paying $7,000 a year for assigned risk. But if you're just an average Joe Sixpack, you're going to be paying $23,100 every 33 years, and you're going to have one claim every 33 years. Do you know what the average auto insurance claim is in 2005? All right. Average insurance claim is $1,835. So write that down, $1,835, and put that under your $23,100. So I'm just going to write $23,100, and then let's take $1,835. That's $21,265. So you're going to be paying roughly $21,000 worth of profit into the insurance industry for that limited liability. Now, that is good profit. That's good money. That's better than a crap table. I mean, it's way better than the crap table. There's good bets and there's bad bets, but insurance is one of the worst bets that you can make. And let me give you another illustration of insurance and how profitable it is to the insurance industry. The fire insurance is another good one. I don't know what they pay out. I never was involved in fire insurance. I was involved in auto insurance, but I looked into this some years back up in Boise, Idaho. I lived in a neighborhood about four blocks from Joe Albertson on the second bench, so I was up in the top 400 in the city of Boise, and there's about 400 houses in my neighborhood. I'd lived there for about 10 years, and I couldn't remember any house ever burning down, so I went to the Idaho Statesman, and I started looking at the statistics, and I found out that the last time a house burned to the ground in Boise, Idaho was in 1957. I did this research, by the way, in 1983. So from 1957 to 1983, which was 67, 77, 83, about 26 years, there had not been a house burned to the ground in 26 years. So I want to know, well, how many fires do we have in Boise, Idaho? And the answer is 50 fires a year, about one a week. Then I looked at the number of fire stations in town, 16. You have 16 fire stations scattered all over the city. And everybody has fire insurance on their house because everybody has a mortgage on their house. Now, there might be one or two guys that don't have fire insurance. You know, as I speak to you today, I don't have fire insurance on my house, but then I don't have a mortgage on it. If I had a mortgage, I'd have to have fire insurance because they won't sell you a mortgage without the insurance. So I took a look at that, and what is the price of the insurance? And I was paying $500 a year for a combination of insurances, which included fire, homeowner's insurance, hail, wind damage. You know, there's a number of things that you get. And since I was on the second bench, I didn't buy flood insurance because you can't get a flood up there. And here's what this boils out or nets out to be. In my neighborhood, you've got 400 people, and they're paying $500 a year, in which it rolls up a number of insurance things. But, you know, I lived there for 10 years, and I never had a claim on my insurance, and I'll just bet you that nobody else did either. Now, the average fire claim in Boise, Idaho was $14,000 back in 1983. So the average house was selling for $100,000 up in my neighborhood, and if you had your house catch on fire, the fire department comes out, puts out the fire, and limits the damage to $14,000. Now, if you were to buy a policy that just paid you $14,000 and you had a fire, they wouldn't pay you $14,000 on a $100,000 house. They'd only pay you $1,400 because you weren't carrying full coverage. They'll only pay you the percentage that the house is worth. So the insurance company comes out and they say, well, your house is worth $100,000. So you got to insure it for the full $100,000, so you pay the full $500 a year premium. Now, you pay your full premium for $500. This is a bet. We call it equitable loss spreading, but it's a bet. And here's what the bet is. I got a $100,000 house, and I'm betting that my house is going to burn down. And the insurance company says, no, your house is not going to burn down this year. So I gave them the premium, the bet, $500. At the end of the year, my house hadn't burned down. They kept the $500, and they didn't give me the $100,000 because my house didn't burn to the ground. But if my house had burned to the ground, they would have given me the $100,000 less, you know, certain costs, deductibles, and a few odds and ends. Just like the croupier, you know, if a 7 comes up, he'll pay you. But the odds are 6-1 that a 7 isn't going to come up when you throw that dice the first time. So the odds are against you, and the odds are against your house burning down. I just ask you, when was the last time your house burned to the ground? And how many years have you been paying these fire insurance premiums? So the insurance company, you know, those people aren't dummies. They've got the numbers right in front of them. Now, I lived there for 10 years among 400 other residents over there. Not a single house burned to the ground in my neighborhood. Not a single house burned to the ground. Now, we were all paying our premiums, and I paid my $500 premium. My house didn't burn down. Now, they were giving me 200-1 odds. So I came back the second year, and I gave them another $500, and I said, surely this year my house will burn to the ground. At the end of the second year, my house hadn't burned to the ground. And now they had $1,000 worth of my money. And furthermore, they had about 25,000 other houses in Boise. And what it boils down to is out of 25,000 houses in Boise, they have 50 fires that that cost them a grand total of $14,000 each. So let's just multiply that out. 50 times 14,000 is $700,000. So every year they pay out $700,000 in fire claims. All right, now, they got 25,000 houses, and they're collecting $500 each times 500 is $12,500,000. So we all pay them $12 million, and they give us back less than $1 million, about three-quarters of $1 million. So in round numbers, they make about $12 million off of our premiums. That's not bad. That's not bad at all. That's why this is called equitable loss spreading. It's all of the people pay in $500, but 50 people are going to collect $14,000. For the $500 you paid in, you're going to collect $14,000. Well, in 28 years at $500, you know, you are going to pay for that kitchen. So here's what I'm betting. I'm betting that my house isn't going to catch on fire and isn't going to burn down, because that's the bet that the insurance company is making. And so far, every year I've been right. As long as I'm betting with the insurance company, I'm betting correctly. My house hasn't burned down. If my house burns down, then I'm going to have to go rebuild my house. And that's what everybody's afraid of. And that's why insurance is sold based upon fear. You're afraid. And so insurance capitalizes upon one of your five human motivators: vanity, jealousy, lust, greed, and fear. So they play upon your fear, and then they get you to bet. And this is a violation of Exodus 21, 28 through 36, because it's limited liability, and God requires that all of us be 100% responsible for all of our own damages. Now, let's take our break right here, and I'll be back, and I'll explain why right after this. You're listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States, worldwide, over the Internet. For more information about The Law School and The Law Hour, please go to our website at georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. Now, The Law School teaches family law, tax law, courtroom strategy and procedure, business law, agricultural law, civil rights, and biblical law from the scriptural perspective. The Law School is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school, and it is open to individuals by prearrangement. The Law School conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc. For more information, go to our homeschooling page on our website at georgegordon.org. Now, The Law Hour website is updated weekly. It has our radio log schedule and archive. It can be accessed through the website at georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. Remember, the law hour is carried worldwide over the internet, and all of these law hour programs are archived on the internet by title and date for your listening convenience. And the law hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. Now, the law hour brings you timely reports on law, science, education, politics, religion, news, and current events 7 days a week. The law school offers a free 4-hour introductory CD package. To order yours, please call the law school at 417-273-4967. Again, that's area code 417-273-4967. Now, the opinions, beliefs, comments, views, and expressions that you hear on this program are mine and mine alone. They do not necessarily represent the beliefs and opinions of our advertisers, sponsors, management, or staff of this network or local radio station. For more information about the Law Hour and editorial review, please go to our website. Remember, that's georgegordon.org, or call the law school direct at 417-273-4967. All right, we're talking about insurance and limited liability. You're going to find that if you have an insurance policy, the claims adjuster is going to do everything he can not to pay you. And then if he can't do that and he has to pay you, he is going to stretch out the payment as long as possible so that the insurance company can keep that payment that they're going to pay you in their bank account, which is called the average daily balance. And they get paid interest on that average daily balance. And so while it's in there, they're getting paid interest. And while they don't pay you, you don't get paid anything. Now, everybody believes in insurance. I mean, I used to buy insurance for many, many years, and I'm not deaf, dumb, and blind to the benefits of insurance. I understand how it works. That's why I'm taking the time to explain it to you and why it is a violation of the law of God and why God tells you not to have insurance. Don't have insurance. The Bible teaches against insurance. I'll bet you every church in America has insurance, and the Bible tells you not to have insurance. That's fine. Religious people and church people don't obey God, and they don't follow the scriptures. They don't follow the laws of the scripture. They practice religion. I mean, after all, that's the name of the game. Religion, not law. Now, the Bible is a law book, and the Bible teaches law and tells you to practice this law. And so God, over and over again, he says, now you practice this law, and I'll give you these benefits. Remember, that was in Leviticus 26 and Deuteronomy 28. All right, now let me show you something here. In Exodus chapter 23, now I don't have any fire insurance on my house. Now, that's because I practice strict liability. If my house burns down, I'm going to rebuild my house. But my house isn't going to burn down, and here's why my house will not burn down. It says here in verse 20, this is Exodus 23, verse 20, it says, behold, I send an angel before you to keep you in the way and to bring you into the place which I have prepared. Now beware of him and obey his voice, provoke him not, for he will not pardon your transgressions, for my name is in him. But if you will or shall indeed obey his voice and do all that I speak, then I will be an enemy to your enemies and an adversary to your adversaries. And my angel shall go before you and bring you in unto the Amorites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Canaanites, the Hivites, the Jebusites, and I'll cut them off. You shall not bow down to their gods, nor serve them, nor do after their works, but you shall utterly overthrow them and quite break down their images. And you shall serve the Eternal your God, and he shall bless your bread and your water, and I will take sickness away from the midst of you. And there shall nothing cast their young, nor be barren in your land. The number of your days I will fulfill. That's, by the way, 70 years. So you're entitled to live 70 years without ever being sick, without your house ever burning down. And this is guaranteed under the terms and conditions of this old covenant contract. This is a part of the terms and conditions of your contract. Now, if you want to check that 70 years out, let me give you a couple of sources here. You go to Psalm 90, verse 10, and then Exodus 23, verse 26, which is what I just read to you. You got a guaranteed lifespan of 70. So if you died in New Orleans, in the floodwaters, and you're not 70 years old, you did not receive your benefits. There's a breach of contract. Now the question arises, did you breach the contract, and is that why you got killed or why you died, and God did not preserve you alive? Or did God break the contract and fail after you had obeyed him and kept all of his commandments, and he let you die anyway? What's the penalty against God if God breaches the contract? Have you ever wondered about that? I mean, I told you that we have a contract, and that when we breach the contract, we get a blot. What happens when God breaks the contract? We'll come to that in a minute, and I'll show you. Now, in verse 26, he says, there shall nothing cast their young, nor be barren in your land. The number of your days I will fulfill, 70 years, 25,550 days, trouble-free, with no sickness. All right, let me pause here and mention this. If you live in New Orleans, and you're the average Joe Sixpack, Louisiana, and you eat shrimp and lobster and crab and all of these unclean foods, you need insurance. You need health insurance, because you are going to get sick. Now, oftentimes, people become the fulfillment of their own prophecies. For instance, let's suppose that you're a normal Joe Sixpack, and you go out and buy a health insurance program, or you work for ExxonMobil, and they have company-paid health insurance. All right, so you're fully covered. So you go out and you eat anything that tastes good, and I'm sure that shrimp and lobster and things taste good. In fact, I've often said, if God made anything better than a pig to eat, he kept it for himself. So, boys and girls, I'm fully familiar with eating pig. I'm fully familiar with Flo's Whorehouse. I'm here to tell you, though, that eating pig is going to plug up your veins and you're going to get atherosclerosis. So assuming you've got this neat insurance program with ExxonMobil, and sure enough, it plugs up your veins, your arteries, and then you have to go to the hospital, and then it costs $100,000 to have bypass surgery, and you come out of the hospital and you say, see, worked like a shot. I ate whatever I wanted, and when I got sick, I went to the hospital. The insurance company paid all of my hospital bills, and there it is. That's limited liability, and that's limited liability. That's insurance that works to the zenith. I mean, it is perfect. That's what you want. Okay. Now, I don't want bypass surgery. People that have bypass surgery end up being invalids for the rest of their lives. I don't want that. I would like to have a good, healthy, robust life and a good, healthy, robust body until I'm about, 110 years old, and then I want to die in my sleep. I want to take my shoes off, go to bed, and not wake up when I die. So I want to go. And I don't want to pay any insurance premiums, and I don't ever want to have bypass surgery, and I don't ever want my arteries to plug up. I don't ever want to get atherosclerosis. Now, in order for me to accomplish my goal, I have to forego pig. I cannot eat fat, because eating fat violates the health laws in Scripture, and so there's about 18 of these health laws, and by practicing these 18 health laws, he says that you'll live to be 70. Now, you're guaranteed 70 by law. In fact, anybody who dies before he's 70 years old is prima facie evidence of a breach of contract, because right here is the contract terms. You're entitled to 70 years, 25,550 days. All right, now it's gone. Verse 27, he says, I'll send my fear before you, and I'll destroy all the people to whom you shall come, and I'll make all of your enemies to turn their backs upon you. That includes FEMA, the IRS, the EPA, the State Tax Commission, any, that's the doctors and dentists and lawyers, all of the people who are threatening you. This God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, says, I will cause all of your enemies to turn their backs to you if you'll practice my law. And I'll send hornets before you, which shall drive out the Hivites and the Canaanites, the Hittites, from before you. And I will not drive them out from before you in 1 year, lest the land become desolate and the beast of the field multiply against you. But by little and little I will drive them out from before you until you be increased and inherit the land. And then I'll set your bounds from the Red Sea even to the Sea of the Philistines, and from the desert even to the river. For I will deliver the inhabitants of the land into your hand, and you shall drive them out from before you. And then you shall make no covenants with them, nor with their gods, and they shall not dwell in your land, lest they make you to sin against me. For if you serve their gods, it'll surely be a snare unto you. Now those last two verses are pretty important. See that word covenant? Contract. He says, you shall make no covenants or contracts with these people, with these aliens. You know, you shouldn't be making contracts with FEMA. Now, all of you people down there on the Gulf Coast, you're sitting there wanting FEMA to come in. You're complaining because FEMA hasn't set up their office so that you can go in and contract with them and get those 2% low-interest loans so that you can rebuild your house. And that's, after all, what limited liability is all about. Now, you see, back in the olden days when our forefathers created our Constitution, they created a Republican form of government. That's a very limited government. The government doesn't have very much power. It is not the government's job to take care of you. The government's job is to protect your rights against other rule breakers so that you can go out and work and buy, sell, and trade and get rich and make a lot of money. Or that you can go out and exercise your freedoms and you can buy, sell, and trade and get poor and lose everything you've got. It's all about opportunity. It's not about guaranteed incomes or risk or equitable loss spreading. It's about opportunity. Now, under our democratic form of government, we have devolved into a different form. Now we want big government. We do not want opportunity. We want guaranteed social protection. So that if my house burns down, I want somebody else to rebuild it. If a hurricane comes and blows it down, I want somebody else to cover that loss. I don't want to do it myself. I don't want to be responsible for that. So it's a choice that we make. All right, now, our forefathers formed our limited government, our Republican form of government, and Davy Crockett was at the forefront of this. Let me tell you a little story about Davy Crockett. He was in the House of Representatives. I think it was from Kentucky. And there was a lady there in Kentucky, and she had a damage. Now, I forgot what the damage was. Her husband died, or their house burned down, or something happened. There was a calamity there. And she was a pretty prominent lady there, and so a bill was introduced in the Congress to compensate this lady, kind of like a bill was introduced in Congress to compensate all of the victims of the 9/11 attacks on the trade towers. And Davy Crockett said, no, I'm not going to vote for a bill like that. The job of government isn't to guarantee a life of security and comfort for anybody. The purpose for government is to protect the people from robbers and looters and foreigners so that they can go out and work in safety and in peace and exercise their rights to opportunity, not security. So under our Constitution, we are guaranteed opportunity, but we're not guaranteed security. Under our democracy, we are guaranteed security, and our opportunity is severely limited by all of these rules and regulations, you know, like FEMA and OSHA and the EPA and et cetera. Now, I'm not here to criticize. I'm not here to tell you that you made the wrong decision. I'm just here to tell you that you had a decision to make, and you made it, and Americans now live in a secure society. Well, as secure as you people can make it. Now, notice here in Exodus 23, God told us, he said, now, if you make covenants and contracts, if you make agreements with FEMA and Homeland Security and with the state of Louisiana and with the United States government, it is going to be a snare unto you. Get that? It's going to be a snare to you. All right, now, you've got a choice to make, and here's my choice. I don't have any insurances. I don't have any contracts with the state. I don't have a marriage license, birth certificate, driver's license, business license. I don't do business with these foreign and alien gods at all. None. Zero zilch. And I'm relying upon the God of Abraham in Exodus chapter 23 to protect me from hurricanes, floods, tornadoes, the IRS, the EPA, the State Tax Commission, the Highway Patrol, and everybody else that may threaten my health, safety, and welfare. I'm relying upon the God of Abraham. He said he could do it, and I said, well, let's see if he can do it or not. Now, the rest of the people of America, that is most normal, everyday, garden variety people, say, I don't think you can trust God, as evidenced by this Hurricane Katrina. We went out and we prayed mightily, and God did not stop that hurricane, and it came in, and thank God that we've got insurance. Okay. Well, that's the optimum. The hurricane came, and you had insurance. The hurricane blew your house down. Now, the insurance company will come in, and they will write you a check, and you can build another house. My thinking is, I would prefer not having my house blown down to start with. I just don't need the aggravation. That's why, for my money, I'm going to follow the law of God, and I'm going to practice strict liability. Now, I'm strictly liable. If my house burns down, boys and girls, I don't have any fire insurance. I'm going to have to rebuild it myself. So the other day, we had a lot of things in our house here, and we watched this Hurricane Katrina come through, and I said to my wife, I said, my God, if, perchance, this were to happen to us, let's suppose that God did not protect us, and a tornado comes through and hits our house and destroys it. Perhaps we should take some food, clothing, and other valuables and take them out of our house. And so I bought two little storage buildings, and I moved them away from my house down the ridge, and I put a lot of things. I put clothes in there. I put shoes and clothes and food and things so that, you know, just in case. Now, I happen to have two houses. I live on a farm. And so I actually bought another house. You know, I practice insurance, but I practice insurance for me. I pay my premiums to me. And the prudent man foresees the evil and then hides himself from it. In other words, a prudent man looks around and he says, well, you know, if there's a flood, water seeks its level. And if Dale Smith, my neighbor across the road, gets 3 feet of water in his house, I'm going to have 10 feet of water in my house because Dale's house is higher up than mine. Now, it just happens that both of us live up on a mountaintop, and it's not very likely that we're going to have a flood here, but, you know, just in case. Now, I'm being a little facetious here, but I want to point out to you that that if time and chance were to happen to little Georgie Gordon, I'm not going to practice limited liability, so I'm not signing up for FEMA. I will not be standing in line to have you people out in Casper, Wyoming, send your money to me. Although I would appreciate it on a strictly voluntary basis. And I think that's what charity is. Now, we're not dealing with charity down here in the Gulf Coast. President Bush has come out and said, we Americans are going to guarantee all of you people that have been damaged limited liability. In effect, what President Bush has said, even though the God of heaven has destroyed your house, we will all band together against the God of heaven and his punishments. And we will mollify those punishments. We will take those punishments away. I did that one. My dad was whipping my baby brother, my little brother, you know, and he went over there to whip him. I don't know what he done. He did something. And I got it in my head that my baby brother, he wasn't entitled to this whipping. So I reached out and I grabbed my dad's arm to prevent him from whipping my baby brother. Have you got the picture here? My dad has got his belt off, and he's going to whip Jimmy. And big brother Georgie reaches over and grabs my dad's arm to prevent him from administering this punishment. Well, I want to inform all of you people out there in radio land that I am a very precocious child. I was a very precocious child. I learned very fast. I only did that once. That was the one and only time that I got in the way of my dad administering punishment to somebody that he thought needed to be punished. And my dad turned on me with that belt, and I mean to tell you, he just beat the living daylights out of me. Now, of course, you people today would say, well, that's what the problem with that George Gordon is. You see, he has been beaten so often by his dad that he was an abused child, and his mental faculties have been scrambled ever since. Now, I don't think that's quite the case, but my dad showed me that when he administered punishment, that I ought to butt out. So I want to share that with you. When old dad administers punishment, it might be better for you if you butt it out. Now, let's take a look at what happens when God breaches the contract. Flip over here to Mark 10, verses 28 through 31. So, if I break the contract, the terms and conditions of the contract spell out the penal clause in Leviticus 26 and Deuteronomy 28. And Mark 10, verses 28 through 31 spell out the penal clause against God if he breaches the contract with me. So I'm going to go out, I'm going to obey God, keep his commandments, do everything that he tells me. And if I die before I'm 70, a tornado rips my house down, or like Job, the foreigners come in here and wipe me out, what am I entitled to? Listen to this. This is Mark 10, verse 28. Then Peter began to say to him, Lo, we have left all and we have followed thee. And Jesus answered and said, Truly I say unto you, there is no man that has left house or brethren or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake and the gospel's. But he shall receive 100-fold now in this time. That's before you die, boys and girls, 100 times. Houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecution and in the world to come eternal life. But many that are first shall be last and the last shall be first. So I'm entitled to a 100-time liquidated penalty. In other words, if I were to have my house burned down practicing this law, I'm entitled to 100 houses. 100. So years ago, when I started practicing this law, I was in hopes that I would lose $10,000 as a result of it, so that under the terms of that statute, God would owe me $1 million. And do you know that God has never paid me $1 million? I've been doing this law now for about 20 years. And the reason that he's never paid me $1 million is because I never lost $10,000. I never lost a dime practicing this law. In fact, I said the other day, the reason I practice this law is because it pays so well. I make so much money, and I live so much better, and I have so much better health. I think this law is better than limited liability. I think this law is better than FEMA. I think this law is better than the insurance company and the insurance policy and the claims adjuster and the United States government and President Bush. It's a better program. It pays better, and I live better, and I think you would too. Well, there's the story on Hurricane Katrina. We got a new hurricane on the way. We'll probably be giving you a report on that one in the near future. Well, we're about out of time. We're going to have to cut it off right here. You've been listening to the Law Hour and Editorial Review, sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, the Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States and worldwide over the Internet. Remember, the Law School offers a free 4-hour introductory CD package. To order yours, please go to the webpage, georgegordon.org, or call us direct, 417-273-4967. All you got to do is ask for it. That's area code 417-273-4967. Remember that the Law Hour is carried worldwide over the Internet. The Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. Well, we're out of time. We got to leave it right there. We'll see you back here tomorrow night. Same time, same station. God willing, of course. So thanks for listening, and good night, friends.